Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different financial businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the first of that series, and I interview Barbara Schrienz, creator of Your Tax Coach. And as Barbara likes to say, her business is not made up of regular tax accountants, but cool tax accountants. And I'm pretty sure you can find strong evidence for this on their TikTok account. Barbara's one goal is to help business owners stop giving the government all their money. Who doesn't like that? And the proof is in the pudding. In 2020, her firm saved clients over $5 million. Dang! In this episode, Barbara shares more about her firm and her journey to becoming an entrepreneur. Hey, Barbara, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first of all, you've built this incredible business as a tax accountant, helping businesses save money on their taxes. And who doesn't love that? Can you tell us a little more about your approach to taxes and how you save your clients money?
Yeah, totally. So when I graduated from my Master's of Tax program, I started working at the largest accounting firm in the world. And I was like, this is what people strive for. Like, I got there and we were working 100-hour weeks. We never really got to learn much more than like one line on a tax return. And so I quickly shifted to a smaller accounting firm, and it was kind of the same thing. And so I went smaller accounting firm, smaller firm. I was like, it has to be somewhere where like they actually help their clients. And I wasn't finding it after 10 years. So I was like, I'm just going to start my own accounting firm where all we do is help business owners to save money in taxes. So we dig into their businesses, find all the deductions and tax strategies and loopholes that are available for them, and help them get money back.
I love that. And by the way, I have some friends who've gone the kind of big four accounting route right out of school, and it's crazy the amount of hours that they work in order to work their way up in that career. Like, it's mind-blowing.
It's wild. I know. I don't know how they keep people.
I don't know. Most of my friends who've gone that route have also eventually left for something a little more exciting and a lot less demanding in terms of time. So I love that you saw a hole in the market and then started looking for how do I solve it, and then eventually went out on your own. I imagine your clients love the work you do, because who doesn't want to keep more money in the business or for themselves or for their team?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when we get to send out the emails every single day of, hey, we amended your returns, or hey, we implemented this strategy and you're saving $50,000, $100,000, even $10,000, that's a lot of money for people. So yeah, getting to send those out, it makes accounting and taxes more fun, because it can be a very boring industry to be in, but yeah, we try to keep it fun and exciting.
Yeah, and I think as a side tangent, that's really evident in most of your marketing assets. You have a really fun copy, fun message, and I think you do a great job making, at least on the marketing side, making it feel a lot more fun.
Thank you.
So, you know, I also want to ask, I feel like taxes are a bit, there's a lack of transparency for the average business owner on, how do I save money
on my taxes and not really understanding what some of the guidelines are, what some of the rules are, what some of the loopholes are. I imagine some of what you do is how do we make this more transparent for our clients and how do we help them understand better where they can save money and why?
Yeah, what a timely question. I literally went live on Instagram right before this podcast and I said the exact same thing. I was like, I don't know why other accountants have this lack of education for their clients. I think they think that if they keep it to themselves, then their clients will need them more. But really how we see it is if we educate you and help you become more successful, when you're more successful, you make more money. And when you make more money, you need us more, right? So we have the total opposite opinion. So yes, we educate our tax strategy clients every time we're on phone calls with them. And then so much on our social media platforms too, just so that people that may not have access to our services, they can at least go to a platform and get the education piece for free. Maybe not the services for free, but they at least can start educating themselves.
Yeah. And I've, like you, always found that more empowered clients tend to become long-term clients because they like understanding what's happening. And it also allows them to make better decisions long-term. And I imagine that's the same, especially when making purchase decisions or deciding where to invest money back into the business, that goes hand in hand with the tax strategy education.
Totally. Yeah.
So can you share a little bit more about your services for anyone who's listening that might be thinking, hey, maybe I should hire Barbara and bring her company into my business?
Yes. So our signature offer obviously is our tax strategy service. That's our most expensive, I guess you could say, but the ROI on that is crazy. We never want to charge anybody more than what we're saving them. So we always assess your business before we take you on as a client, and the person gets a tax saving summary. So they already know before they even have their first call with us how much they are going to save and what the fee is. So we try to be as transparent as possible. So tax strategy, that's for the business owner that wants to save money in taxes. Then, of course, we prepare your tax returns. So you don't have to be a strategy client for us to just prepare. We have plenty of like newbie business owners that, you know, maybe they're still in the expenses are more than our income phase, but you still have to file a tax return. So tax preparation, we have a full bookkeeping team that can help with bookkeeping. And then we also offer business intensives, which is just like a 1-hour phone call with us. And typically, again, that's for like newer business owners that just have a lot of questions, whether it's like, how do I file my LLC? Or do I need to keep receipts? Or how do I track my expenses? You know, anything that goes along with starting your business, we can do just a consult with them as well.
That's amazing. And I just have to say, like, to understand how much you're going to save before you even hire your firm is a pretty amazing gift to a prospective client. And I just think it's super smart.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we found, you know, it's an expensive service. And so I think people feel so much more comfortable knowing like, oh, okay, I might be paying X, but I'm going to be saving Y. So it's a no-brainer.
Totally. Totally. I know you may also have some courses coming soon. Is that right?
Yes. I feel like I keep saying that and it keeps getting delayed. But our course, our huge signature course, Write Off Your Life, it's going to be coming out in January for sure. We have some other just like digital products and master classes that we've done. But this course, Write Off Your Life, will be like our signature offer. It will go through like A to Z, all the expenses available to business owners and basically how to write off your life.
Well, I love the course name. I think it's amazing. And I will be keeping my eye out for that because I would love that course.
Yeah, we're hoping everyone loves it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one thing I noticed that you've been publishing on your Instagram and TikTok that I'm curious about is you've been talking about crypto a little bit more. And I'd love to hear how that ties into some of this tax strategy for business owners.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no getting no hiding behind crypto anymore. It is, you know, a $3 trillion market now. And of course, some of the crypto will go away, but there are others that for sure are going to stay for the long haul. I mean, governments are now investing in crypto. And so it's really something that myself and my entire team have taken so many education courses on it this year. And it's really just to help our clients. There's so many ways now people can make money with crypto, not just like buying Bitcoin, but there's mining, there's noting, there's gaming. You can now make money on gaming in crypto. There's staking your crypto. There's trading your crypto. So all of these different scenarios all require different tax strategies and they all get taxed differently. And so we're actually having a crypto masterclass December 15th, just to go over all things crypto and taxes. So we're really excited about it. I love crypto. I love NFTs. So, you know, I'm excited to help educate clients a little bit more.
I think it's brilliant. And to some degree, it's a little bit of the wild, wild west still, right? So trying to find information or having a source like you who can provide information in a concise and clear way about here's how you need to think about your crypto investments and how that impacts your tax return, I think is so helpful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're excited.
So Barbara, let's say someone's listening to this podcast and wondering, am I ready to bring Barbara's firm into my business? When would you suggest a business owner seek out your services?
I would say just email us, no matter where you're at in business. Just send us an email, tell us where you're at, and we'll kind of steer you in the right direction of which service would be most beneficial for you. Again, we never want our services to be an expense. We always want it to be a return on your investment. And so even if you're a newbie business owner and you have no profit, there are still ways that you can save in taxes. If you have other income, you can carry forward losses. So even if you have no profit, you know, reach out. You still need somebody to prepare tax returns correctly. But if you are a business owner, you are profitable, you know, DM us, let us know, or email us. And again, we'll send you that free tax strategy summary where we'll tell you this is how much we know we can save you and if you want to move forward.
I think that's amazing. So you hinted at, well, why you started your business and what inspired you to venture off on your own. But did you Prior to doing your degree, did you ever have entrepreneurial ambitions? Or was it really just, hey, I see this problem that needs to be solved, so I'm going to go do it myself?
What's funny is I never thought about it. Even when I was in school, you know, you're sitting in a room of 30 or 40 other college kids, and the big four accounting would come in and they would say, one of you in this room are going to become a partner at an accounting firm. And of course, always I was like, well, that's going to be me, that I'm that one person. And so I went through my career being like, okay, I'm going to like be a partner by 35 and I'm going to be the first female partner at whatever firm I'm at. You know, I had all these big goals, but never in terms of owning a business. And then when I just became so fed up with the last firm that I was working at, my husband and I were talking, I was crying to him because I brought in the highest paying client they had ever brought in. I saved this client millions of dollars in taxes and they didn't pay me out a bonus for that client. And so I was crying to him and he was like, well, if that client was your client, how much would they have paid you? And I was like, well, I guess the same. And he was like, so why don't you just start your own? And literally, I had never thought of it. I don't know why I had never thought about starting my own, but that was like the light bulb moment, you know? And even then, I was afraid to admit it to myself, like, oh my gosh, I'm starting an accounting firm. I reached out to a friend that I knew built websites. And I was like, hey, I have $1,000. That's my budget. Can you build a website? And even then, I was like, I'm not starting a business. I'm just building a website. You know, and all these little things went into place like, oh, I'm not starting a business. I'm just starting my Instagram, just testing it out. And then finally, you know, had the courage to just jump all in.
I think that's an amazing story. And I love that your husband reflected back to you like, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? Sometimes it's so hard to see that on our own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And man, that if that one question wasn't asked, like our whole life would be completely different. It's kind of wild to think about that.
And may I ask, when you started dipping your toe in the water, did you know you wanted to focus on tax savings at the time?
Yeah. So at my last firm, basically all I did was tax strategy. And I created all of the tax plans for the clients. And so I really saw the value in that. And so when I started this firm, I was like, I'm not going to be that accounting firm that just like takes any and every client because they're desperate for money. I knew that I'm only going to take business owners and I'm only, you know, going to focus on strategy, because if we just constantly focus on saving people money, it just makes for a way better business. You know, you don't get those angry clients that don't want to pay your fees.
Yes. And you read my mind, because I was going to ask you, do you think being so specific in your niche and so strategic with your messaging really helped catapult the business forward, even though you were just dipping your toe in the water and testing, well, it's not really a business yet, but let me try this.
Yeah, I didn't even really think I was like niching down at all at the time, because I'm like, well, I can take any business owner, you know, but literally every day people message us and they're like, do you take just, you know, we're just employees. And we're like, unfortunately, no, because there's not really a whole lot we can do to help you save in taxes. And so at the time, I wasn't thinking about it as a niche, but it has really helped in terms of like staying clear and consistent on what our messaging is.
Yeah. And I think sometimes niche gets boxed into a corner, like it's only an industry specific vertical, like we're only helping, I don't know, hairdressing businesses, or we're only helping dentists. But I think helping with a specific problem like tax strategy for business owners also niches you down. Very specifically. And to be honest, when you look at most accounting firms, as you hinted at, it is, hey, we'll take anyone and everyone, and we have 5 million different services.
Right. Yeah.
So one of the things that I see from a marketing standpoint when businesses are trying to grow is that sometimes there's too much of a focus on their own industry and not looking to outside industries for inspiration, and also too much focus on a very specific strategy or channel that's being pushed out by the market without really understanding how it fits into their entire system. And I think you've done such a great job with your marketing. And I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about what's working for you or what's not working for you, so that other people can learn a little bit about what's going well for you.
Yeah, totally.
So right now, I'd love to hear, and you're doing some really cool things on TikTok, but how does your business get in front of new people?
So really, back when we started, I knew I wanted to focus on Instagram. I'm like hardly ever on Facebook. LinkedIn seems a little too stuffy for me. And TikTok wasn't really like a big thing. And so I was comfortable with Instagram. I knew how to work it. And so we really kind of went all in on Instagram. Now we're trying to repurpose. Now that I have an in-house content person and someone that's like dedicated just to, you know, these social media platforms, we're definitely diving into TikTok. I love TikTok. I think it's a great platform. You know, we're still trying to figure out how to make those videos go viral and how to allocate time, because it takes so much time, right, to have a good social media platform. But really, for us, it was like diving into one that we felt comfortable with, which for us was Instagram, and then still being open to new things, right? Like Clubhouse came out. And so, you know, we dove into Clubhouse when that came out, and that was a good platform. I kind of use it less now, but then it was TikTok, and I really like TikTok. I think it's fun. And so we'll definitely spend more time on there next year. There's definitely, I think it's easy to get FOMO on all the other platforms, and then you'll have coaches be like, well, you have to be on Facebook, and you need a Facebook group, and you need to be on LinkedIn, and you should have automated messages on LinkedIn, and you can have 10 different social media platforms, but then none of them are being done really well. And so my suggestion would be like, just stick to one for now and like just go all in.
Yeah. And you highlighted that it is a lot of work, and you have now a team member dedicated just to helping you with your content marketing. So I think when you're not in that position, spreading yourself too thin on too many different platforms is not beneficial to the business. Plus, really, content has to be created specific to that platform, in my opinion. Like, you can repurpose a little bit, but each platform has a very different purpose. And so it's not just, hey, let me create one piece of content and then blast it everywhere. And that's, you're going to grow a following and turn those followers into customers.
Totally agree. Yeah.
So the other thing I like about what you said is that you felt like Instagram was a channel you could win on because you enjoy it. It's kind of fits your personality and it's something that you understood well. Do you think that has helped you stay consistent and continue to be successful on Instagram because you chose wisely?
Yeah, definitely. And it goes back to what you said, like being consistent. That's, people always ask, you know, what's a tip you can give to people about social media and marketing? And it's really to be consistent. And you're not going to be consistent if you don't like what platform you're on. And for me, like Instagram stories is just so easy and it's fast. And, you know, it's those 15-second clips. It's just the little highlights from the day. I don't have to type out anything if I don't want to. It doesn't have to be this like big, thoughtful, drawn out thing. It's just like, hey, here's my day. Here's what we're doing. Here's how we're saving clients. And people love watching stories, right? Like people are inherently nosy. And so they just love, they eat it up.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of social media today is it doesn't have to be this huge polished production, which is going to require a lot more time and resources. You really can just shoot a video with your phone and not have this beautiful graphic behind it. You don't have to have a transcript. I mean, I just think it's really accessible, an accessible form of marketing.
Yeah, totally. Even with like TikTok, right? Those videos are not professional for the most part on people's TikToks. Whereas like Instagram, people had to, you know, get pretty photo shoots and do all these elaborate things. But I think TikTok is showing people it can just be like off the cuff, quick, not professional, but bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. And we've interviewed a few guests on here who are dabbling in TikTok and doing pretty well on there. And what would you say to someone who's maybe thinking like, I don't think TikTok is the place for me because I don't really want to dance, or I think my industry isn't, my target audience isn't on TikTok because it's mainly like Gen Z or something like that, I think is a common misconception. So what might you say to someone who's thinking that?
Well, one, you definitely don't have to dance. You're probably not going to find me dancing. really, what people want is like catching information, you know, like, hey, the IRS came out with this new law. People are like, okay, I want to know about that, right? So attorneys are doing really well on there. Accountants, and by accountants, I don't mean strippers. I have a funny story about that. I hashtagged accountant in one of my TikToks because I had no idea that it actually meant stripper. And my content person was like, did you just hashtag accountant? And I was like, yes. She's like, go to that hashtag. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So I had all these like people reaching out to me that, yeah, we're not my target audience. But and, you know, even though TikTok is geared towards, sure, the younger generation, like, trust me, our parents and grandparents are, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are on TikTok.
Absolutely. And so if you're listening to this episode and you're thinking, hey, maybe I do want to explore TikTok as a possible new channel for my business, I definitely recommend listening to our episode with Wave Wild, who is our kind of TikTok expert on the podcast. And she also has some great starting courses that will demystify the platform for you and help you figure out not only how do I go viral, but how do I look at TikTok as a platform that I can monetize and turn followers into customers.
Ooh, I love it.
Okay. So you are using social media to get in front of new people. And then I'm guessing that you qualify your leads by putting some free resources in front of them, like your deductions 101 and your income and expense accounts. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, a majority of people honestly just DM us and say, hey, how do we work together? And so we'll just have, I like voice messaging. So we'll just have like this quick conversation in the DMs and kind of qualify them that way. And then I ask for their email and we get started. Some people do come through the website and download a freebie, but I would say a majority are either referrals or DMs on social media.
I think that's amazing and just a testament to all the work you've done on social media, meaning like people are ready to go to take the next step and they're just ready to have a conversation. And I love that you lean on audio messages because I think it's a really great way for someone to hear your voice and for you to ask questions and almost have a faster conversation than one you're going to have if it's all being typed out.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, context and tone and how your personality fits with theirs is just, it comes across way better through a voice message than just texting.
Absolutely. Then I'm assuming that you're using both social media and email to stay in touch with any prospects who haven't yet made a decision to purchase with you, but you want to stay top of mind with. Is that right?
Yeah. So any new person that comes into our, you know, quote unquote funnel, we add them to an email sequence. And so they get 7 emails that all talk about tax strategy. And so they kind of go through the client journey that way. And we also just keep in touch with our clients every week. We put out a newsletter. So that can be like new tax updates or even like team updates, what's going on with the company and with the team. So those are fun. We get replies from the newsletters all the time. So that's cool to see.
I love that quick insight too, that it's not always necessarily tax education, but also, hey, let's share some behind the scenes of our business and help you get to know our team a little better. I think that's super smart and also pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, people want to know people, right? It's not just let's talk to my accountant once a year and call it a day.
Yeah. And you hinted earlier at consistency on social media platforms. Do you also find that's equally as important with your emails?
Yeah, I mean, we have to stay top of mind to the client. Of course, like the clients are always top of mind to us, but if you're constantly, you know, not bugging them, but if you're constantly sending out a newsletter, then you're staying top of mind. And maybe when a transaction is happening or they're buying a new investment property or starting a new business, then they're like, oh yeah, I need to email Barbara. Like I totally forgot. So it's just a good like reminder that we're here for them.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's something that can be overlooked, which is there are very key milestones that tend to trigger someone's purchase decision. And we can't always predict when those are happening, like when someone's going to purchase an investment property or when they're thinking about starting a new business. And so you just saying, hey, this happens no matter what, allows you to stay top of mind in a way that's really scalable because you're not having one-on-one conversations with everyone all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So Barbara, if you had to give one piece of advice to another business owner who's growing and marketing their business, what might that be?
I think we've chatted about it a lot already, but I would say consistency. You know, if you are choosing, say, Instagram as your platform, you know, choose a schedule that works for you. Like, you know, make sure you're getting those 10 story slides a day. Have a plan to have 3 posts a week. I mean, you don't have to be posting every day and posting reels every day, but at least, you know, lay out a spreadsheet or a calendar or something and be consistent about it. And also don't be afraid to talk about what you do every single day because different people are going to see your stories every single day. It's not always the same few hundred people that watch your stories. And so plus people have to hear about things. What is it, 17 times or something like that in order before they buy? So just stay top of mind and be consistent.
That's fabulous advice. So for anyone who wants to learn more about your services or check out what you're doing online, where can they find you?
Yeah, we're basically on every platform at Your Tax Coach. Again, we're all in on Instagram. So send us a DM on Instagram at Your Tax Coach. Our website is yourtaxcoach.biz, B-I-Z. And if you want to email me, it's barbara@yourtaxcoach.biz.
Amazing. So I will be including all those links in the show notes. And thank you so much, Barbara, for all your time and expertise.
Thank you so much.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.